Well, if you have your Bibles with you, turn with me to Acts chapter 4, 23-31. And I want to talk today about prayer. It is still the answer. Amen. And I've been going through the book of Acts as just part of my own devotional time. And I was talking with a person this week that's also started there in the book of Acts. And so that kind of brought me to this here message here. And just talking about the importance of prayer. Coming up in the new year, we do have some prayer times that'll be set aside that we will be praying. And something, again, very important, very needed. So Acts 4, 23-31. As soon as they were free, Peter and John returned to the other believers and told them what the leading priests and elders had said. And when they heard the report, all the believers lifted their voices together in prayer to God. O sovereign Lord, creator of heaven and earth and sea and everything in them, you spoke long ago by the Holy Spirit through our ancestor David, your servant, saying, why were the nations so angry? Why did they waste their time with futile plans? The kings of the earth prepared for battle. The rulers gathered together against the Lord and against his Messiah. In fact, this has happened here in this very city. For Herod Antipas and Pontius Pilate, the governor of the Gentiles, and the people of Israel were all united against Jesus, your holy servant whom you anointed. But everything they did was determined beforehand according to your will. And now, O Lord, hear their threats and give us your servants great boldness in preaching your word. Stretch out your hand with healing power. May miraculous signs and wonders be done to the name of your holy servant Jesus. And after this prayer, the meeting place shook, and they were all filled with the Holy Spirit, and they preached the word of God with boldness. Lord Jesus, we thank you for your word today, and we pray your blessing on it in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Next Sunday, Pastor Chris is going to be sharing, and also next Sunday is going to be wear your Christmas sweater. So if you have one of those Christmas sweaters and you want to wear them, come out and do that next week. And Pastor Chris will have a great message for us there as well. Well, this morning I just want to share with you that prayer is still the answer. No matter what comes our way, no matter the circumstance, the trial, the attacks, or even the blessings that would come our way, the appropriate response is prayer. Because prayer is always and is still is the answer for all circumstances. Even when we come to those times in our lives where we don't understand and we wonder, God, where are you? What's going on? Maybe sometimes we get confused. And it still comes back to the place we need to go to the Lord in prayer. Unusual circumstances happen to us all. Sometimes good things happen, sometimes bad things happen. But as you look to the scripture and you see the responses of people in the Bible, you will see that their response, whether it was good or bad, that they went through, the same response kept happening. They went to God in prayer. And that's something that, you know, we need to realize that prayer really is profitable in every circumstance. And the early church, as we looked at the Bible, certainly understood that and certainly practiced it. And I believe for us as a North American church, we really need to get back to this common practice of prayer. And it seems like today that we're willing to do almost anything else but pray for our church. And that's something I believe is lacking in the North American church. And I really believe God is calling the churches back to prayer. Early in the new year, as they said, we'll be focusing on prayer and worship as our church. But I don't want to wait till then to begin to encourage you to continue to lift up your voices to God. Now, last week we talked about making more room in our lives for God and to give place for him to move. And interestingly, last week we experienced a very elevated sense of God's presence. Maybe some of you didn't recognize that, but the praise was so loud last Sunday. People were entering in so much. I actually turned around. I thought the house was full. I said, man, we must have a full house. This is so loud. And I turned around and said, nope, we're only half full. And the other people did the exact same thing, but there was so much praise that was in this house last week. And that was really cool, very neat to experience. But it was God encountering us, God touching us. We also had a message in tongues and interpretation, Nigerian style. And so you had a little bit of culture added to you. And as Canada grows more and more, there's more and more cultures that are kind of coming to our nation. And we need to get culturized because there's lots of different cultures out there and people worship the Lord differently. I think of the blessing that I had when I was in Nigeria to be with 5,000 pastors and they were all praying. They don't pray like us. They're not quiet when they pray. Man, it was a mighty, mighty roar. Matter of fact, when we were with the, Chinese people, Judy and I, we happened to be at Bethel and we got placed in with all these Chinese people that couldn't speak English. And worship started. They just started worshiping anyway. They didn't care if they could say it in English. They just started worshiping the Lord. And then when we were with about 100 Koreans, and they were beginning to worship the Lord. Just a beautiful, beautiful experience by various cultures of the world. Now, when she spoke yesterday or last Sunday, you may not have understood all that she said. And so I went to her and I said, can you remember what you said? If you could, would you please write it down? And so I want to read that to you so that you would understand and know what was being said. And she said, the battle is over. I've been sent here to tell you that the battle is over and Bethel Church will be a house of healing. God wants his people to connect to the healing move and an anointing in a church in 2020 and 2020 by attending the services. In 2020, there will be life. Every dead situation in life of his people is going to come back to life. Whatever that might be, whether it's finances, marriages, or whatever. The spirit of death has been defeated and you shall not bury anyone this year. So that's what that word was. You may not have caught it. I didn't catch it all either. And that's why I like to ask. But I think that's kind of a cool word. And we do want our church to be a house of healing. A place where people's circumstances do get turned around. But just being in church is not enough. There needs to be a hunger on our part. There needs to be a willingness to let God move. And there needs to be this foundation of prayer that we might be sensitive to what God is saying. Here in this story in the book of Acts, we see the apostles and the Christians experiencing some really great things as you start to read the book of Acts. And yet we come to this passage and they're a little bit confused over the resistance that they're receiving from the religious leaders of the day. And after the resurrection of the Christ, many people came to believe in Jesus. Thousands of people came to Christ. Thousands of people witnessed Christ responded to him. Then the day of Pentecost came. And on that day, the Bible says the believers were empowered with the Holy Spirit. And again, thousands of people began responding to the message of Jesus Christ. And from there, the people, they started going out. And as they were going out, they began to pray for people. People began to come to faith in Christ. People began to get healed just through ordinary believers as they went out throughout the countryside. It tells us as well here that for the apostles that the anointing of God was so strong upon them that as they would walk the streets, that people just sitting on the sides of the street would get healed just simply as they walked by. That's some pretty cool stuff. And so all these wonderful things are happening, and then suddenly the religious leaders are coming against the Christians. And they're threatening them that if they don't stop speaking about Jesus, they're going to be imprisoned and punished. And so it's kind of seemed confusing to the Christians why there would be such an opposition to the gospel of Christ, especially after people witnessed the resurrection, and especially after that day of Pentecost, which was in Jerusalem at the temple. And so they were thinking of those things and wondering, like, what is going on? And we need to remember that, friends, we do not fight just against earthly vessels, but we war against rulers and demonic spirits. The enemy of our soul, the devil, is working very hard to destroy the work of Christ, and he still is. We continue to fight battles. There are still battles that are going on, and there's an enemy that's behind those battles that is trying to destroy us. And so what they did in response to that was very predictable. They did what they always did. They went and took time to pray. And what they prayed, I thought, was very significant. And that's what I want to look at this morning, the things, the four areas that they were praying about, that God would intervene in their lives and touch them and this whole area as they're facing some of this opposition and some of the confusion that was even in their own minds. Well, the first thing that the early church of Acts did when they encountered opposition to the move of God and what God was doing was to pray for boldness. And I think that's a great place for any of us to start. I think all of us could use more boldness. We have a British heritage for a lot of people, and that kind of gets us where we're more reserved in our nature. Most cultures that come to Canada think that we're not saved because our culture is very, very reserved, while other cultures are much more bold. So I think this would be a great prayer for us. Lord, we could use some more boldness in our lives. Acts 4:29. And it says, "Now, O Lord, hear their threats and give us your servants great boldness and preaching your word." Now, and as I listen to that prayer, I think of these people. Listen, these guys were already bold. They're already going out on the streets. They're already evangelizing. They're already telling people about Jesus Christ. There's thousands of people are responding to the gospel. It seems to me they're already bold. But they're asking, saying, "Lord, we need even more boldness in our lives." And I think that's something all of us can be praying, that we recognize we all could use more boldness. And what they faced here was a very real threat. After all, the apostles were already put in jail and brought in jail. But of course, it was a miracle. The first time, God took them out of the jail. While the prison doors remained locked and the religious leaders were looking, what happened to them? Where were they? They were out preaching the gospel again. So the church is saying, we need more boldness. We need more courage, as these threats are very serious. And so we recognize that this is serious stuff. Our lives could be at stake here, but yet, so God, we don't want that to hold us back from sharing the gospel. Rather, we want to be even more bold. You know, there's a lot of things in life, even in our own Canadian culture, that we kind of pull back and think that, you know what, God, you know, I don't want to be, you know, stepping on people's toes. I want to be politically correct. We've really gone crazy in Canada for that. We need to be saying, I need the boldness of the Holy Ghost, that I don't care what happens or what people do to me or what laws get made, I'm going to continue to preach the word of God. And we need to do that even more. And so they were asking God, "Lord, notice these attacks against the gospel. We're asking you to intervene on our behalf. But as you're in the process of doing that, give us more courage. Give us more boldness to continue to step out and share the gospel." And when you think of that, that was something that was really important to them, the gospel of Jesus Christ. And that's something that needs to be very important for all of us. It needs to be our priority one, that we share the gospel, that people can come to faith in Jesus Christ. That's your number one commission. And we get that from Matthew 28:29. "Therefore, go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit." And the early church really took this to heart. They realized that this was their main thing to get out there, that message of the gospel of Jesus Christ, that people would come to Christ, they had faith in Christ, and they would get saved. And that needs to be our number one goal as well. We need to go out there and be concerned about the gospel, that the gospel might be spoken and preached to every person all over the place. Now, sometimes, you know, we like as Christians to focus on ourselves. And we like to do things that are good for us, but sometimes we forget the important thing of sharing the gospel. We like worship. I love to worship. I could keep on worshiping and worshiping and worshiping. No problem. I love that. I like the prophetic, the charisma, conferences, and all those kinds of things are all good. But we need to remember that there's something that every one of us is called to do that we need to have an equal enthusiasm for, and that is to reach people for Jesus Christ. Having people come to Christ, because that's why Jesus actually came. The Christmas story reminds us of this every year, that he came for you and I. He came that the world might be saved. And as we think of the Christmas story and of what Jesus has done for us, I like what 1 Timothy 2:3-5 says. It says, "This is good and pleases God our Savior, who wants everyone to be saved and to understand the truth. For there is one God and one mediator who can reconcile God and humanity, and that's the man, Christ Jesus." I like John 3:16. I kind of refer to John 3:16 as the miniature Christmas story. For God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son, that whosoever would believe in him would not perish but have eternal life. God wants everyone to be saved. God wants the world to be saved. So there's no one in this whole world that God doesn't want saved. He wants everyone saved. So that's a message that we need to be praying. God, give me boldness. I need a greater boldness. I need more courage to go out there and share my faith and tell others about the gospel. Now, we've done a couple seminars about sharing our faith, and one of the biggest things that hinders all of us in sharing our faith is our fear. Fear of being rejected, fear of being made fun of, or fear that they don't want to hear what we have to say and that they reject us and they reject Christ. Lots of fears are there. That doesn't matter. We still got a job to do. Their job is to respond. Our job is to tell. If they don't want to respond, that's with them. Our job is to continue to tell and speak the message. So asking for boldness, asking for courage. I pray that for myself. God, I want a greater boldness, a greater courage to be speaking out and sharing and taking those opportunities that we have to share about Jesus Christ. And so that's a great prayer as we go through life. Sometimes good things happen. Sometimes bad things happen. Sometimes confusing things happen. We go to the Lord in prayer and say, God, give me more boldness. Give me more courage. I need to touch my generation. I need to touch our world that I'm living in. And then secondly, in response to this opposition, to this move of God that they were experiencing there in the book of Acts, they went to pray and they were praying for healing. And again, they're praying an increase of healing. It says, stretch out your hand with healing power. It's interesting that even though this man, they were praying for a crippled man, he gets healed and people started to complain about it. Amazing. This man couldn't walk for over 40 years, and suddenly Jesus touches him through the apostles, and people are upset. People are mad. They're coming against the church because these people are practicing healing. See, the early church saw some amazing things. They saw some amazing healings, and that just encouraged them to ask for more. I think sometimes we get way too satisfied. We see one or two miracles or one or two healings and we stop asking. We need to keep asking. Healing encounters catches people's attention. It makes them more open to hear the gospel. And in every case, we see that crowds would soon gather around the apostles and they'd use those opportunities to share the gospel. Now, please understand that healings and miracles like that can draw people to listen, but it doesn't guarantee them that they're going to heed the message and respond. And you will find that even here as we read in the book of Acts. Sometimes there's people that responded, but there's also people that rejected the message, even though they witnessed a mighty miracle. And Jesus said himself that even if someone would rise from their dead, there's still people that will not believe in Jesus Christ. And of course, Jesus did that himself. He rose from the dead. People saw it, but they still chose not to believe in him. It's choices. But unfortunately here in this case, you would think that people would have recognized, okay, this story of Jesus is true. He rose from the dead. There are all kinds of witnesses to that fact. We saw the day of Pentecost. We saw people respond in the thousands. Surely the religious leaders of that day would be ready to accept him now, but they weren't. And the reason that they didn't was because the Bible says they were jealous. There was pride in there. There was the issue of control. Control is always a big thing that hinders a move of God while people vie for control to keep things in their own parameters. And so when opposition starts happening for what God is doing, we need to start praying even more. And know we'd be praying for that empowerment, not just in boldness, but also in the area of healing. And please realize, healing comes from God. It doesn't come from me. It comes from God. But God can flow through us. That is, we pray for people that they can be healed. But the healing comes from God. And we need to be careful that the praise also goes to God because he is our healer. And we see that throughout the Bible, people experiencing healing from Old Testament to New Testament. and healing is a doctrine of the Bible, and so it should be. After all, does not the Bible tell us that one of the names of God is the Lord our healer? So it's his very nature to heal. He's the same God yesterday, today, and forever. He's a God that heals. That's who he is. Now, I realize that when it comes to healing, there's always lots of questions. Why is one healed and why is another not healed? And how come our prayers are sometimes answered, sometimes they're not? And because of that, sometimes we deal with a lot of disappointments in that area and kind of can cause us to become critical or unbelieving and even get us to the place where we don't ask. Friday night, I spent the night with my wife at work, and I had a kidney stone attack. So I was there all night. And as I'm sitting there saying, Lord, my message on Sunday is about healing. And here I am in the hospital with a kidney stone attack. Lord, we don't always understand why he doesn't touch us at those very moments. I've been good since then, so praise the Lord. I'm trusting that they passed. But it can be just situations like that that we sometimes want to ponder, ask. And to me, like, no, I am going to proclaim a message of healing whether I receive it or not. Because the word of God tells me God heals. And that's enough for me. Whether I always experience it or not is not the point. The point is God's word says he's a healer. And so we need to be praying. God, we pray for an empowerment in this area that, Lord, you're going to use us and move through us, that we're going to see greater healings in our midst. And that's what the early church did. They prayed for a release of healing power from God. And I think we need to be doing that as well. James 5, 14 to 16 says, are any of you sick? You should call for the elders of the church to come and pray over you, anointing you with oil in the name of the Lord. And such a prayer offered in faith will heal the sick, and the Lord will make you well. Again, notice, the Lord makes you well. And if you committed any sins, you'll be forgiven. Confess your sins to each other, pray for each other so you may be healed. The earnest prayer of a righteous person has great power and produces wonderful results. Healing is something that is very biblical, seen throughout the Bible and also evident throughout history. God heals. And we need to be praying for more healings, that God's hand would be outstretched and we begin to see more healings. And I don't know about you, but just look in this church body right here today. People with cancer, people that are going through some big medical issues. Look at our town. Look at our communities around us. Every one of us can probably name a person that right now is suffering from cancer. We need some miracles. We need some healings to take place. And we need to be praying for that. God, outstretch your arm towards us that we might start to see more and more healings. And interesting, that word last week, that was part of it, wasn't it? She said that it's going to be a healing church. Well, it can't be a healing church if we're not looking for it. If we're not seeking him for it, if we don't want it, it can't be a healing church. You got to want it. That's what the early church was praying. God, we want it. We want to see more healing. So let's pray for healing. Let's pray, God, help me with my unbelief. I love that when the person responded to Jesus and he was struggling with belief. And we all struggle with belief, especially in the area of healing. And let us pray just like that person in the Bible. Lord, help my unbelief. Forgive me for my unbelief. Help me. And Lord, may this person be healed. And God, he responds to those kinds of prayers because they come from our hearts. So that can be, again, healings can be a great occasion to see more people get their attention, that they can hear the gospel message again, and that opportunity is there. That's what really healing's for. It's to not just that the people is healed, but it's to create an interest in people that they'll come and see what's going on, and then they will hear the message. And then from that message, they'll decide whether or not they were going to serve Christ or they're going to reject Christ. Very important. We need that healing. Then thirdly, in times of oppositions to a move of God, we need to be praying for an increase in signs and wonders. Now, the early church got down to business and they cried out for a demonstration here of signs and wonders from God. Acts 4:30, stretch out your hand with healing power. May miraculous signs and wonders be done through the name of your holy servant, Jesus. What are signs and wonders? They're just simply things that happen that make you wonder. That's kind of the simplest definition you can give. It's just something that makes you wonder. Just things that happen. It can involve God speaking to us in various ways. It can be prophetic words. It can be messages in tongues, interpretation. It can be dreams and visions and healings, encounters, hearing his voice, natural laws being broken, an impossible experience taking place. There's no limit to how God can get our attention. And that's really the purpose of signs and wonders, is to draw people's attention to God. It's to cause them to wonder, is this a God thing? What's going on? What's happening in this place? It's meant to create those kinds of questions. Our job then is to step in to share with those people who are wondering, to explain to them what's actually going on. And sometimes that we fail in that area as churches and as Christians. We don't bother telling people what's going on. If you just sat down with them and started going through the Bible and say, look, there's signs and wonders all over the place of the Word of God. They're meant for you to be a sign to tell you that God is real and that you're to look to Him. He's calling out to you and explain those kinds of things to them. God is wanting to get our attention. It's to draw people to faith in Jesus Christ, to cause people to consider this whole thing about God. Now, again, we often face a disappointment that there'll be many people that say, that ain't God, I don't want that. And guess what? You won't get it when you say you don't want it. God's not going to force on you. You won't get it. And we got to realize people will reject it. But we also need to realize that people will accept it and they'll come and be a starting place for them to have faith in Jesus Christ. And there's no question that God has been moving in signs and wonders in our own midst here. There's a lot of people in this church that are having visions, encounters with God. People are hearing God's voice. They're seeing manifestations of God and their dreams, burdens to pray for people and pray for our church. God is even causing people that don't even live here to be praying for us. A person texted me this week and they were saying, you know, I was at the gym this morning. They seem to like to text me really early in the morning. I guess they're trying to get me up earlier, I guess. And they said, I was at the gym, and all of a sudden, I had this burden to pray for your church. And I had to get out of the gym and go to the locker room and pray until that burden lifts. So I just thought I'd call you today just to say that I'm praying for your church. I didn't go to our church. But God is causing people to pray for us. God is bringing people in our midst to say, they got a message for you. Don't you think those are signs that he's trying to get our attention, that he's trying to speak into our hearts and into our lives? And that's happening lots. Even little children getting visions, getting dreams. I'm getting quite a stack in my office. I might be able to write a book because I'm starting to get a pretty big thing of just people hearing from God, speaking those things, sending me texts, sending me emails, phone calls, pictures, all kinds of things. But they're not just praying for me, they're praying for you. And God's laying you on the hearts of people across this nation. That's pretty cool. Pretty cool. I believe those are signs. And if that doesn't grab your attention, surely the experiences that we've gone through over these last few years have been very hard, where the enemy has been trying really hard to stop what God has planned for this church. But again, the Bible says the enemy will not prevail. What was that word last week? The battle is over. It's over. He's trying to get our attention, and he wants to do something great in this church, in this area. That's what he's doing. Now, you may not understand every sign and wonder that takes place, and honestly, we usually don't. We just don't. But they're meant to get our attention and cause us to wonder, is this God? And if it is God, then you need to seek him out. There's a response to those things. It's not just to be, oh, what was that? No, it's to say, God, were you trying to say something this morning to me? Were you trying to speak to me this morning? Sharing with somebody else that maybe, you know, that scared them. And you know what? Sometimes signs and wonders scare us. They do. Remember the Christmas story. The shepherds are out in the field. They're minding sheep. They're minding their own business. Suddenly the heavens open and there's these angels there. Now let me tell you, if that happened in here, what do you think the response would be in here? Exactly. We'd be screaming for our lives probably. Sometimes signs and wonders will scare you. But see, there was an openness in their hearts. There was an openness that those shepherds realized, hold it, this is a God thing. And as they listened, they heard a word that a babe was being born that day. And they went there and they got to see Jesus, and they left there praising God and sharing the story wherever they went. See, there's a part where you need to listen. Sometimes we can allow signs and wonders to upset us so much that we don't listen to what God was trying to say to us. See, God's not looking for your permission to how he should move. He's going to move any way he wants. You know, I know as Christians, and we all are guilty of it, myself included, we all have boxes. And we kind of try to keep God in that box of our experience. And for us to go outside that box of our experience sometimes is pretty hard, or we don't like it. But sometimes that's how we grow, by Lord stretching us and taking us out of our box to make our box a little bit bigger, because God's not contained in a box. He's way bigger than our boxes. He's way bigger than what we think. The Bible tells us, Isaiah 55, read through Isaiah 55, and he kind of belts it right out to us, like, you're not even, your thoughts are not even like God's. Like, you're so far away from what he really wants and what he can really do. And that's where our God is. Friends, we need to make room for signs and wonders, and take the time to wonder. Is God trying to get our attention? Because that's what a sign and wonder is for, to get your attention, get you thinking, get you wondering. They're not to be made, you don't make a doctrine out of a sign and wonder. We're guilty of doing that too. We experience God one way, and then we think God always going to move that way from that day forward. No, God can move any way he wants. It's getting ourselves to the place where we can listen and see what he is doing. And again, that sign and wonder is to draw people to Jesus Christ. And so again, when a sign or a wonder occurs in your church or occurs around you, and you have people around you that are freaking out, talk to them. Show them in the Bible that, listen, this is stuff that happens. God is speaking. Does that, anything in your heart? Sometimes a sign and wonder will expose your heart, that your heart has no place for God. And that's a reality. There's people that we've been trying to reach for ages. They're not coming because they have no room for God. Start reaching out to others. Start reaching out to others. And use a sign and wonder to talk to them about that. Now, the Bible tells us to continue to expect signs and wonders and to see that increase. Acts 2, 17 to 19. In the last days, God says, I'm going to pour out my spirit upon all people. Your sons and your daughters are going to prophesy. Your young men are going to see visions, and your old men are going to dream dreams. In those days, I'm going to pour out my spirit even on my servants, men and women alike, and they're going to prophesy. And I will cause wonders in the heaven above and signs on the earth below, blood and fire, clouds of smoke. Signs and wonders are going to increase whether you want them to or not. But as a church, we need to be praying, let them increase. Let them increase, but with a purpose, that we might share with those people that do respond the gospel of Jesus Christ. See, everything goes back to sharing the gospel. Everything is done for a purpose, and the purpose is to talk to those individuals and share with them about Jesus Christ. And it's interesting, as we see, how many people in our own church are having dreams and visions, even children. I'm just amazed at some of the visions and dreams our kids are having. Like, just blows me away. And just amazing. Pray for more signs and wonders. Signs and wonders that will be even clearer to people, that will speak to people and help them to know that Jesus is really trying to get their attention and wants to be part of their lives. So we need to be more attentive. We need to be making room for some signs and wonders that are going to cause us to wonder, what's God up to? What's God saying? To be listening to what he may be saying or speaking to us or through us. And then lastly, as we face opposition to a move of God or for any circumstance we're going through in our lives, we need to pray that we be filled with the Holy Spirit. And that's what the early church did in this situation. It says, Acts 4:31, and after this prayer, the meeting place shook, and they were all filled with the Holy Spirit, and then they preached the word of God with boldness. I hope that you see it, that in every situation, it always comes back to preaching the word of God and sharing the gospel. Everything is meant to empower you and to help you and give you opportunity to share the gospel. And that's something we all need. We need more of the Holy Spirit in our lives. We need a shaking. Imagine a shaking in this church if that started to happen. Wouldn't that be a sign? Again, probably freak us all out. We'd probably be running outside because we'd probably think it was an earthquake. Probably wouldn't even cross our mind, oh, it's God today, and he decided just to shake the whole building for fun. It's our purpose to encourage you, get attention, to draw you. But I pray that may we be filled with the Holy Ghost even more, and that we'd wait on God for that empowerment that can come, because that's the reason for the baptism. We, again, miss this sometimes, even in our Pentecostal circles. The baptism is for power. It's not just so you can speak in tongues. It's about power. That's what's important. But Acts 1:8, but you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes upon you. And you will be my witnesses, telling people about me everywhere, Jerusalem, through Judea, Samaria, to the ends of the earth. Again, talking about there's a purpose for all these things. And the purpose is that it's an opportunity for you to share the gospel of Jesus Christ. That's what we need. Now, I know when we talk about the Holy Spirit coming on people, sometimes we put God in boxes, that it can only happen this way or whatever. God can do it any way he wants. He's God. Who am I to say to him to do it differently? Now, I know some people say, oh, I'm going to speak in tongues. I don't know if I agree with that, or I'm going to fall down, and all these kinds of things that we have, and we have these fears, and like, listen, the Bible said you're going to be filled with the Holy Spirit. It's going to give you what? Power. Seek the power. Seek the power. God, I want the power. I think even as Pentecostals, sometimes we've been so focused on the tongues and we started speaking a few words in tongues that we missed the power. We didn't tarry long enough to get the endowment of power. We need the power in our lives, and we need to be praying for that. So don't be focusing on tongues or focusing on falling down. Even people in our own Pentecostal service say, focus on the one that you're asking it from. The Lord said he's going to send the Holy Spirit. So ask him. Ask him. Ask him for that. It's interesting, though, how we have all these things and we're scared about so many things. And sometimes people are scared, oh, they're going to fall down. Oh, no. How terrible. And I know that can be faked. Sometimes there's a church word you can use there. They're called CDs. They're called courtesy drops. So you just a short, for people that maybe are trying to push you. I never do that. I always push back if someone's trying to push me, but whatever. But that's in the Bible too. It's all through the Bible. Think of another story again of Jesus. Jesus in the Garden of Gethsemane and John's account. And they come in there to take Jesus, and Jesus comes up to them. It's amazing that they, in John's gospel, he kind of gives us a little extra story here and they say, who are you looking for? And they said, we're looking for Jesus of Nazareth. And Jesus responds to them, I am he. And as he spoke those words, the whole mob fell on their rear ends. Fell under the power of God. That's what can happen. When you encounter the living God, you know what? Sometimes you may take a dip. I can remember when we went to a conference down in Red Deer, the Argentinians. Three of the greatest men in the revival of Argentina. And I can remember being there, and every one of them prayed for me, and I figured I'm staying here to make sure I get everyone to pray for me. And I felt nothing, absolutely nothing. I didn't even fall down or any of those things. But as I opened up my eyes, I was right up like front like here, and the interpreter, they had prayed for him earlier, and he went out like a light. And as I opened up my eyes, I saw him stir, and he opened up his eyes. He looked at me and he started coming at me, and that was the last thing I remembered. I was laid out on the floor. But sometimes the presence of God can do that. So there are occasions in the Bible that you can refer to things. So when people struggle in those areas, just say, well, look, here's some other incidents where this is what happened. The Spirit of God hit people. And so he explained to people, and you can be honest with people. Sometimes people push. Sometimes people give them a CD. Hey, we're just people. He will respond differently. But you can talk about that with people. Don't be shy to talk about it. But again, you don't concentrate on the sign. That's not a doctrine that you're supposed to fall down all the time. It's not a doctrine. It's just sometimes that happens. So don't make a doctrine out of it. Don't make it something that this is more spiritual than standing up. It isn't. It's just something that can happen. And so as we pray again, Lord, I'm praying for the power. And I really don't care how your power comes. If I have to babble for the next 30 minutes, praise the Lord. If I have to be laid out, praise the Lord. If I have to start jumping or whatever, I need more power in my life. I think all of us recognize that. We could use more power in our lives. And God wants to empower us for a reason. Not that we become super Christians or super spiritual. It's for a reason. The reason is to go out and share the gospel of Jesus Christ. It's a boldness that will come upon you, not to be a super Christian, but to be a person that will go out there and share their faith with the people that we see each and every day. So that's the kind of baptism that we need. That's the kind of baptism we need to make room for more of the Holy Spirit in our lives. Come, Holy Spirit, I need thee. Fill me afresh. Fill me anew. And we need that because life just has a way of emptying us, doesn't it? Trials and all the things that we go through, man, it just takes the energy right out of you. Say, Holy Spirit, come and fill me again. Fill me again. I'm not going to put any parameters on it, Lord. I'm not going to say you can only do it this way or that way. I'm just here to say, God, I need the empowerment. However you do it, that's up to you. I'm just here to say, I want to be filled. I want to be filled. I need more power in my life that I might be a better witness for the gospel of Jesus Christ. Friends, I hope you're seeing that God is stirring in this church again. And I know that we've gone through some heavy trials and attacks of the evil one. But friends, I believe we're at the river waiting to cross into all that God has for us in our church. And we're seeing people encountering God afresh in dreams and visions, encounters and unusual experiences of the presence of God. I'm hearing lots of those testimonies out of this body. We'll have to have another testimony time that hopefully some of you begin to share those things with the rest of the body that you're encountering God. Please share those things. Don't just share them with me, share them with other people in the congregation to say, you know what, today during some part of the service, I really felt the Spirit of God just come upon me. And you know what, that could be a huge encouragement because somebody else may have experienced the very same thing, but they might be scared of it. Or they may not understand, or they may be doubting the experience. And if they hear that you were experiencing the same thing or feeling the same thing, then there's a witness, right? And so, good thing to do. I believe that we're going to see more and more of God moving in our midst. And as that happens, we need to be praying. We need to be praying and making room for God to move. We need to be praying and making room for God to speak to us. There are many people around us that need to come to faith in Jesus Christ. Number one, pray for boldness. Pray for boldness that we might do a better job in sharing our faith and taking opportunities when they come our way. I know since we've done these seminars about sharing our faith, I've been really practicing those opportunities and making sure I'm, you know, trying to be better at, you know, when there's an opportunity to step in and say something, say it. Doesn't matter where you're at, whether you're in a mall or in a store at the bank or whatever you're doing, you're eating lunch somewhere, take the opportunity and start sharing. You don't have to have a big, huge message. You can start something to see if there's something in their heart that will respond, and then you can arrange for something later to go speak to them even longer. But take opportunities, fresh boldness to talk to people about Jesus Christ. And then to be praying, healings, Lord. God, we want authentic healings. We want to see people touched. Aren't you getting tired of all the cancer that's around here? Like, my goodness, it's like an epidemic around this place. So many people are getting cancer. God, stretch forth your arm to start healing people in this community, this area, this church. That just starts happening. Personally, myself, I love it when God just touches people and no one even prayed for them or touched them. I like those the best. But hey, use me. Use me. Use you. All of us. Let's pray for that. Let's pray for signs and wonders, the kind that really convince people that Jesus is calling out to them and that they respond to that gospel. Again, that's the reason for a sign and wonder. It's not to tickle you. It's to make you to wonder, what's going on? What's happening in this place? Ask the question to God. God, what are you trying to say something through this? What's going on? Ask the Lord. And if someone else is with you and that scares them, then share with them. Start talking to them about it and say, yeah, you know what? Sometimes these things happen. Explain it to them. People are not dumb. They can understand that talk as you begin to talk to them, share stories from the Bible about those things. But again, it's about the gospel. There's a reason for them. Opportunity to talk about the gospel. So often, we let those opportunities go right on by because we didn't like it. So we don't use it as an opportunity to share with that person about the faith. That's what they're for. Pray for fresh and filling of the Holy Spirit. Again, what's his purpose? Power. Power. We need power in our lives. More power. More of you in my life, Lord Jesus. So let's commit afresh to pray. Let's make room for more prayer, as prayer is the answer and always will be the answer. Let us pray and let us raise our expectation. Let's make more room for prayer and for what God is wanting to do. Pray that. We all need boldness sharing our faith. We need to do a better job in sharing our faith. We've been stressing that in our church. We've been encouraging prayer for healing. We do believe in healing. We want to see people healed. Some people have been healed, but there's probably a lot more that haven't. I want to see that changed around, that most get healed and only a few don't get healed. Because most of the times we're seeing it the other way, right? Just a few get healed and most don't. Well, if we're praying that God would outstretch that hand of healing and flip that over, wouldn't that bring excitement? People will be listening. They may not all accept Christ, but it'll get their attention, at least for to hear the gospel. Signs and wonders that God would create that. Seems that God is doing a lot of visions and dreams, even with people who are not Christians. A lot of people who are not Christians are having dreams and visions that brings them actually to this church. There's a number of people that have come to this church because they received a dream or they had a vision that they were to come here. Again, what's the purpose? To draw them to Jesus Christ. You can reject it or you can accept it and come to Christ. And then the baptism, the Holy Spirit. It's to give you power. Give you power. Power for what? To be a witness and to share with people outside this church and tell them the story of the gospel. Power. I want more power in my life. Not that I become a super Christian. I don't want to become a super saint. I just want to be a person that's used of God to touch our world for Jesus Christ. Amen. Amen. That's what we need. So as we close here this morning, maybe you're here today. I don't know, but maybe you've never accepted Jesus Christ into your life. Well, you know what church was for you today? It was a sign to tell you that, yeah, Jesus is real. Jesus wants to work in your life. He wants to come into your life. Jesus wants to reveal things to you. And if you would like to open up your heart to God, we're going to have a prayer team up here in a few moments. Worship team, if you guys would come back, or Cynthia, whichever. And just to play something as we close. And if you would like prayer, we have people that would gladly pray with you and share with you. And that's important because the Bible says that's priority number one. That's why God did love us so much. He wants to see us saved. That's why he wants to give us boldness, because he wants to see people come to Christ. That's why there's healings. Not that we can all feel better, so that people can come to Christ. That's why there's signs and wonders, so that people can come to Christ. And even the baptism. I want to give you some power. Yes, to live the Christian life, to be a witness for Jesus Christ. And so if you're here today and you want prayer, we'd be glad to pray with you. If you have to go, bless you. Thank you for coming to the house of God today. You know, this is a Christmas season. Lots of opportunities to share about Jesus. People are talking about it. Join in the conversation. Share with them about Jesus. Because Jesus is wanting to touch our community. He's wanting to touch this area. And there's something about this area where it's on God's heart. I don't understand why, but I just keep hearing it over and over and over and over again. You got to start to pay attention at some point, because that's not normal. It ain't normal that you got people all over the place that are praying for you and getting burdens for you to pray. And I'm thinking, like, wonder what would happen if we all got a burden to pray for our own church. And here you got people from other parts of the country saying, I'm praying for your church. I'm praying for you. Wow. God, you're wanting to do something here. You're wanting to do something. I want to be open. I want to make room. I want to make room. I want to make my box bigger. I'm still probably going to have a box because we usually box it by our experience. But that's okay, Lord. Keep breaking my box. Keep expanding my box. Keep making it bigger and bigger and bigger. Because we all got them. I do. You do. We all have them. But just say, Lord, I want you to move. I want you to move. I want to see people come to Jesus. That's our message. Purpose of church. Yes, is to come to be ministered to and be encouraged and strengthened. But the church is to go out there and share the gospel. Share the gospel. Tell others about Jesus. Because there's a harvest. If you've been listening, the last few words or visions that I've shared with you, they've talked about harvest. When we had those guests with us, remember? They talked about harvest. There's a harvest. A lot of people are talking about harvest. You know what? God has a harvest ready for this area. There's a harvest plant. I still think it's going to be a catalyst to touch the nation, personally, right in this whole area. Amen. Father, I thank you this morning for your word. I thank you that you're still God. I thank you that, Lord, that you're far above me. Your thoughts are above my thoughts. Your deeds are above my deeds. You do things I can't even imagine. That's who you are. That's who you are. But Lord, we would pray that you would reveal yourself even more, even more. That we would see even greater salvations and responses to salvation. That Lord, we would see greater healings, that we'd see that shift where most are healed and only a few aren't. We want to see it switched, Lord. Lord, we want to see more signs and wonders that bring people to that place that they open up their hearts to Jesus Christ. And Lord, we do pray. Sometimes we want to have our boxes there too, God. We all do, but speak to them a way that they're going to hear. Speak in a way that they're going to respond, Lord. Speak to a way that they're going to know for sure, man, that was God. That was God. So we pray that, Lord, you do that clearly. We pray that, Lord, the baptism of the Holy Ghost. God, I need more power. I want more power. We all leak. So God, give us more power. More power. More power, Lord. More power, Lord. I pray that we'd experience more power. More power, Lord. I want more power. I'm not satisfied with what I got, Lord. I need more power in my life. Lord, I need you to stir me up even more. Lord, stir up this mortal body. Quicken this mortal body again, Father. Quicken the bodies of every person that's in this place. Give us a fresh touch from heaven. Give us a fresh word from heaven, Lord, individually to us all. That, Lord, we'll know it's you. Because, Lord, I know in this place that we have people ready to respond and we just sometimes are wondering, is that you, God? Is that really you? Well, God, just make yourself so real that we'll know that we know this is you, God. We're going to flow with you. Grant it, Lord. Grant it, Lord. Father, I just bless your people. I pray greater revelation. I pray greater understanding to come upon them, Lord. I pray that for me too. Greater understanding, greater revelation, Lord. Lord, I want to be where you are. I want to flow as you flow. I want to do what you want me to do, God. Help me in that, Lord. Help us. Help us. And forgive us, Lord, for our unbelief. We're all guilty, Lord. We all have areas of unbelief in our lives. And Lord, help us in our unbelief. Have mercy upon us. And Lord, grant us that power and boldness anyway, that Lord, our faith would be increased. In Jesus' name. Bless your people, Lord, as we go in Jesus' name. Let us stand as we close with this song. And if you're here today and you'd like prayer, we'd be very happy to pray with you. Otherwise, have a coffee. Have some fellowship out there in the foyer. Really good to have you here today. Bless you. Thank you for coming to the house of the Lord.